Look at 2 Kings chapter 7. We'll see this also. So there has to be that engagement. First of all, 2 Kings 7 and verse 1. Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." So it's like a man coming and declaring, by this time tomorrow, so you know how mad they felt he was. By this time tomorrow, the dollar to the naira will be 5 naira to the dollar. Of course, when they heard that, they said, "Okay, how will this happen?" So the next person, the Lord down on whom the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, even if God makes windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And then he said to him, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." So the prophetic word, the rod or right of God, had gone into the earth. But it required physical activity engagement, or else it won't happen. That's why it says, faith being alone is what? Dead. It says, there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And all they said to one another, "And this is all I want you to know. Why sit we here until we die?" That's all. You don't get engaged, you sit down there, you die. In fact, we are saying it now, they say they are cursing us. All right? It says, "Why sit we here until we do what? Die." And please, these folks were not, you know, super spiritual. Neither did they think that what they experienced was going to be the outcome. What they just said is, if we sit down here, we die. If we get engaged, the chances are they might capture us, they might kill us, but they might just have compassion, capture us and give us food. So they decided to move. And because the prophetic word was there, listen, Jesus, he always requires engagement. Why did they toil all night and caught nothing? When they came back, Jesus should just have said, "You know, I am Jesus. Fish, come forth." And then all the fish should have come out of the water and come to come and meet them where they were. He said, "No, go back and get engaged." In other words, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But now we'll get re-engaged with your word over us now. So the influence of the spoken word was over their what? Activity. So the secret there is that we are placing the word of God on what we are doing. Are you understand what I'm saying here? You can understand it. So they said to God, now the 4 leprous men got up and moved. And you know, when I was preaching in second service, something hit me. I believe the Holy Ghost put it. He said, when the church prays and they make these declarations, because they have no movement, unbelievers enter into it. Listen, they put something in the newspaper. They say, "Well, come and bid." You disqualify yourself before you even go there. So don't mind them. They know who they want to give. These people, there is no engagement. All right? Only engagement is prayer. Only engagement. They were crying. Moses, listen, Moses was crying. And I want to show you something here. Moses was crying. God said, "What is this? Till when are we going to do this? Oga, let me show you what you do. Tell them to move forward. And let me tell you what happened. And I'll show you proof of this." They started going to the Red Sea. They entered the waters. Nothing happened as they were moving in. And I will show you. I'll prove it to you. Why? Listen, it's not because they were men of faith, but listen, they had no choice. Bullet. Egyptians are coming this way. It's just like a spy in a house. Somebody opens the window. If I jump, at least there's a chance. I don't know what will happen. You say, why did they jump? You are sure. With the heat that is melting iron on its way, you see people say, "We will jump and give ourselves a chance." So they went and they entered. Now, how am I sure of what I'm saying? Put Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. Look at what happened here. The Egyptians were on their way, and the Bible says by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. What the Egyptians are saying or attempting to do. You know why the Egyptians attempted it? They saw them enter water. Look, the Bible says they drowned. You can't drown outside water. You can only drown when you get into water. So what happened was that they saw them enter water, and the thing parted, so they thought it was just the entering of the water. So they too entered the water, and as they were, until the water carried them. In other words, the Jews entered that thing up. Nothing seemed to be happening there, but they were engaged. And for some time, the thing opened up. And what was the secret there? over their own activities, the rod was there. Think well, oh. Think well, oh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Think well. If Moses held that rod and the Israelites didn't go and the Egyptians went, it would have opened. Because the lepers didn't know anything about prophetic utterance. They just sat down and said, if we sit here, we die. If we move, there's a chance. Let us do what? Move. That is the power of getting it. Look, I know it. I'm telling you. Listen. If they say they are open bid for jobs, you don't apply, you will not get it. Forget this testimony. They said they called me. Which call is calling who? you said, you know, Gentiles will come to my light. I know the scriptures now. Kings to the brightness of my... So you are rising in your house. Let me show you. You know what rising is? You know what rising is? Your company... They say they evaluated 20 million within 3 months, it's 200 million. That's rice. King said, what's going on in that place? What is the light? The Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your what? Good work. That's the work. So they said, they sent for Joseph. Yeah, it's true. Isn't that what we told you? Bake the cake, distribute so that they can send for you. Because Joseph interpreted dream and somebody mentioned his name before they sent. It's not that they didn't do anything and they were sent. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's what we're saying. When they say king sent, it's because the kings tasted of it. And so what God does is that he helps you. So they have, you know, need there. We need another cake. And someone says, I remember somebody. My auntie's party. I ate that particular cake there. That's your prophetic utterance on what you have done. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then it begins to work in the minds of people there. Then it says, I remember. If you hold it steady, you start having those kind of manifestations. Acts chapter 4 here. So let's quickly look at it. And I'll close with this here. So engagement is so important. Acts 4. So you have your responsibility there. That cannot be taken away. And that you can't, you know, give to somebody else. In other words, you lift your rod. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's not an issue of that. Well, they get there and say, well, my prayer partner, what's happening? My life has scattered. People scattered. As you see me like this, completely scattered. They encourage you, say you don't understand. I say it is scattered. They show you inside the Bible that the Bible says, you say you don't get. It is what scattered. If only people will pray for me, I know things will change. But as it is now, it is scattered. No prayer can change that. All right? No prayer can change that. Kenneth Hagin once went to pray for a young man. He said he started praying in tongues for his healing. He was ill. And he was inside the airport hospital, Faith King, there. And he said when he got there, he heard these words in his spirit. Words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have been set into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. This man's spirit is better off with me in heaven. Release him and let him go. He said he continued praying that. No, he ignored the voice. Then he heard again, words have been spoken. So he understood somebody has been saying words. And that spiritual laws have been set into motion, which means he had set into motion spiritual laws. Jesus said, the flesh profited nothing, it's the spirit that quickens. The words that I speak, spirit and life. He says, which at this time cannot be reversed. This man's spirit. So he released the boy and left. And I was wondering what he meant. And then later on, about a week, when they were doing the funeral, the week after, he said, when they got to the presence, leaving the cemetery, the younger brother just said to him, you know, the irony of life. He said, what do you mean? He said, my brother had been saying since he was around 50. He said, I don't know why he kept saying it. He said, I think I'll be dead before I'm 40. He said, and you'll be 40 in a week's time. Words have been spoken through the years. A lady there The church had been believing God for her husband who was ill, slipped into coma. And 15,000 people had been praying. And they weren't getting results. So the wife said, look, let's go call Novell Hayes. Told the husband, they got him. The doctor said 48 hours. Novell has gotten 24 hours to go and got into the ICU. And when he got in there, he told the woman she was there. He said, listen carefully to what I'm saying. He said, 15,000 people are praying, but you're going to lose your husband if you don't do what I'm saying. Said what? Said, do what Jesus said, that if you shall say to this mountain, that since the body is now yours by marriage, take it as your body and sit over it and don't move. And keep saying, this body you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die. Said, say it boldly, affirm it, and never stop saying it until he blinks. She sat down there. She said it hundreds of times. After 3 hours, he blinked. In 3 days, he was seated up, eating. Someone that was given to die. But you know what? The 15,000 people that were praying, until there was that connection of speaking. Are you following what I'm saying? And basically, let me just say this to people that do not take medicine. Look, the fact you don't take medicine doesn't mean you are in faith. In other words, okay, then don't eat and grow. Because the Bible says the merry heart doeth good like medicine. Just see it this way. Before you say, it's the doctor, it's medicine. Just see it this way. So that it will help you. Because somebody said, I shan't agree. All right? And I know people that die, they just say, I shan't agree. I shan't agree is not faith. Do you understand? I shan't agree. That doesn't mean it's faith. Okay? All right? Someone says, look, I'm moving out by faith. And what does it mean? I've resigned from my job. That's not faith. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, what is faith? I've resigned from my job. It's faith. Listen, just see it this way. When they tell you to eat vegetables, is there any problem with that? No problem. Because it has medicinal value. So look at the drugs as vegetables that was mixed. That it's herbs and all of that, that they mixed. God himself said from the garden, the leaf is for medicine there. So just look at it that way and just say that I'm eating vegetables. Don't look at it as medicine. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. I said, no. All right? So you can be confessing the word over the medicine too. Just hold it in the name of Jesus. You're on assignment. As you enter into my body. Don't take it as unbelief. Give God praise. Father, I thank you for doctors you gave brain to. You know, if you didn't give, are you following what I'm saying? Yes, sir. You say, what I do, Pastor, I don't agree. Okay, the plane you enter, isn't it the brain that of somebody? So you too, that's science. It's science too. Just look at it that way and then confess. Take your faith into it. Don't withdraw your faith when you are doing it. Do you get what I'm saying? Because it has been a thorny issue. Then when you do that, if you build your faith to the point where you can now survive without that, do you get what I'm saying? Then you can do that. But don't for the first time, you know, and this is something that if they give you an injection, they rectify it. If they don't give you an injection and it lasts for 6 weeks, we are dealing now with an issue that can bring death. That's stupidity. Because if you want to deal with that, please. Let me tell you what happens, boo-boo. It's the same thing. You read one book somewhere that was written 100 years ago, and somebody just says, I did something, and then you are trying to reproduce that book where you have not grown to the level of that particular place. Okay, I'm thinking that Todd Faith said he was preaching to a guy. After some time, he drove him to the doctor. He said, where I see you, you are not at that level. Enter the car there and drove him to the place. This is the medicine that you will take by yourself. I'm supervising it. So Acts chapter 4, let me just close here. It says, I'm being let go. They went to their own company and reported. So when they reported, we know the story, they prayed. But look at what they prayed in verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with boldness they may do what? Speak your word. So Peter and John came and reported, and when they prayed that God will grant them, you know what? Utterance, that you guys, you will speak the word. So they prayed for them to be able to speak the word powerfully. Do you get what we're saying? They didn't say, don't worry, Peter and John, you sit down here, we'll go and speak the word for you. No. They prayed that God will grant them utterance to do what? Speak the word. Then when they speak the word, that by the stretching forth of your hand, this, as you speak the word of God, God stretches forth his hand. Do you see what I'm saying here? That signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Now, so God has stretched forth his hand as he's begun to speak. Then when you get to Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, it tells us that, and it tells us, Acts 5, 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were what? Many signs. Now, who was the person that stretched forth his hand? God. But if God stretched forth his hand and they didn't stretch their own hand, nothing would have happened. So they stretched their own hand, and then the effect of the outstretched arm of God, which was secured, all right, through prayer for utterance inside the word of God, and they spoke that word, that's how they secured the involvement of God's hand. So that when they put their hand, then God's hand was involved. Do you see what we're saying? Well, you must be engagement. So what the company does is to pray that utterance might be granted unto you so that you can speak with what? All boldness. So if you're a CEO of a company, so the thing I'm going to start talking about of a company, and you say you have managers, they are like the Joshuas. And they say, well, you guys go and market and you want to send them out. Then what you do is that you are on a hill and you lift the word of God over them. Are you following what I'm saying? Now we'll talk about that next week, because after some time, that's the kind of thing you must be doing. All right? And building strategies, the same way he said, choose men and go and fight. You build the strategy, you get it from God and say, this is what you are going to do. This is the action. Cast the net on the right-hand side and then place the word over the activity. Now, let me just close with this. Go to Luke chapter 10. I just want to say this here. And this is one of the most powerful stories Jesus ever told. If we really know the historical setting of this word, it is really powerful. Luke chapter 10 here and verse 25. And this is what that cell is all about that we are saying. There was a certain lawyer that stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So he wanted to catch Jesus. So he said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus told him that, you know what you're going to do? You know the law. How do you read it? How do you understand? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might. He said, good. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, good. Go and do that and you shall live. And then the man said to Jesus, he said, to justify himself or to remove himself from the responsibility, he said, who then is my neighbor? In other words, whichever way you define this neighbor, I'm going to say that I don't have any friend. So if you say your neighbor is somebody you are close together, you say, well, I'm alone, no? By myself. So, he said, who then is my neighbor? Then Jesus told a very powerful story. Now, you've got to understand the historical setting of this and culture setting. Jesus answered and said, there was a certain man that went from Jerusalem to Jericho. Historically speaking, that was one of the most dangerous journeys you could take in Israel at that time. And there's a reason why, and I'll show this. Where there were bandits and there were robbers on the road, all kinds of things. All right, just like you saying that, you know, now, if somebody tells you that, you know, I'm going through some places and I'm going at 1 a.m. in the night. I just want to walk through. Eh? Is that kind of thing? He went from where Jericho? Eh? Jerusalem, Jericho? Eh? So he said, eh? That's the kind of thing he said. He said, so when he told the Lord must have moved. Okay, I get what you're saying. He said, and he fell among thieves and they stripped him of his raiment, wounded him and departed, leaving half dead. Now, so if you are going to go through that journey in your consciousness, you'll be thinking about there must be people that were just, you know, that thing. But when it was the time for the priest, look at what happened, verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. It was just by chance that way. And when he saw him, he saw the man bleeding. He had the Torah, saw him bleeding. he crossed to the other side of the road and went up. Then the Levite also came, likewise, by chance. It wasn't deliberate. He saw him bleed. He crossed to the other side of the road. Then a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, which means it was in his consciousness, he came to where that man was, saw him and had compassion. Now, why was this so powerful? The Samaritan there was a deep divide, ethnic divide between Jews and Samaritans. Samaritans were Jews, but the Jews did not agree because they had intermarried with the Assyrians, from other places, so they didn't like them, that they had contaminated Jewish blood. That's why that woman in John 4:9, hear what she said about Jesus. Jesus broke that too when he came to meet the woman. In John 4:9, he said, how is it that being a Jew, the woman of Samaria said unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now, here is the point. Jesus was saying, if that Jewish man on the ground was alive and standing, he wouldn't have allowed interaction with the Samaritan. But where there is problem and need, there is no tribe, no prejudice, you are open. Which means the way to reach people is look for the areas of their need. Don't just carry the Bible and be talking regeneration. Are you following what I'm saying here? Saying Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. No, I don't agree with your religion. No, you people don't believe. Jesus came and caused fight. When you get there, it is the needs of the people. And what did they do? Because of time, they poured in the Samaritan oil and wine. That's what he poured into the guy. Oil and wine. Oil and wine are a type of manifestation of spirit. Oil produces light, which means the first thing you do there is that when you come to help, you give light. So the company, there was light. They said, this thing you are going, this is what is written in the scripture concerning it. That's the light of the word. Then they prayed that scripture, and wine is a type of the infilling of the spirit there. And so they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what they applied to that man's situation there. All right? In terms of locating the scripture there, in terms of praying for a fullness, all right, infilling of the spirit there, for the total restoration there of the life of man. I read something in Young Cho's write-up about that. Somebody wrote this about their church. Very powerful. And the man said something. He said, we have found in practice that anybody that has a problem and we pray for that person, that we don't even engage in trying to convince the person to come to Christ. We just know they have a problem and we start praying sincerely that their need should be met. They said, we have found that in every case, that when the opportunity came to talk about Jesus, they always gave their life to Christ. Says, so what our women do now is that they go out at spies. They go into the salons, they go into these places, and now they listen. It's not just gist, but when women start talking about their problems, they write the problem and the name of the people and go back and start making intercession. And that is the point of entry into their life. Because Jesus looked up and did not say that these people don't know the Torah or don't know that. He said they are sheep without shepherd and they faint in the streets. He said, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Do you understand what I'm saying? No matter the religion of a person, if they have a problem they can't solve, and you tell them that you prayed 4 days ago for somebody and you show him, and say, can we also pray for you? They will say, we are okay. Pray. Help us. We need help. All right? So that becomes, all right, the underlying strategy, and that's what we're saying there. And that's how, remember that woman by the well? Says, you ask water for me to drink. This was somebody that you have no dealings, was the one that opened an entire city to Jesus' ministry. All right? This was someone that they had no such dealings. And that's what he said, the middle wall of partition. And now your fellow citizen says it's your neighbor and becomes very close. And that's what the gospel is. All right. That's what God wants from us, to get his power right into the situation. It starts from within ourselves. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word, and by the power of your Spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.